Little Tom Petty there coming at you. And this is Jeff Rogers, Commissioner of the Eastern States Fantasy Football League. I'm coming at you from the open highway, driving across the state of North Carolina on my way from Raleigh, North Carolina to Blacksburg, Virginia. And I'm here to give you the ESFFL Week 8 podcast. Now, no guest this week, and I apologize for that. And really, honestly, no time this week. This is the only free time I could find at all this week, as it's been a jam-packed week of both work earlier this week and now some weekend activities with my family. But yes, will I let the podcast listeners down and not provide a podcast in any given week during the ESFFL season? The answer to that is no. Well, maybe in the past I have missed a podcast or two, but yeah, not this week. Not this week. It's an exciting football weekend, as for me, it started on Thursday as I came down to Raleigh to witness the Virginia Tech Hokies playing in Carter-Finley Stadium in Raleigh, North Carolina, facing the NC State Wolfpack. And don't turn your back on the Wolfpack, because even though the Hokies build up a 21-3 lead during the third quarter, NC State made a furious comeback and won the game 22-21. Now, you may ask, what was I doing at this football game? Well, some of you may know this, others of you don't, but I do have two daughters currently in college, one attending the Virginia Tech University, or I should say the Virginia Polytechnical University, Polytechnical In-State and State University. I screwed that up badly. I apologize to my daughter, Allison. Let's just say she attends Virginia Tech, okay? And, well, she met my wife, Cindy, and I in Raleigh, where we met my other daughter, Courtney, who attends North Carolina State University. Much easier to say, much easier. And we witnessed that football game and, of course, the game-winning touchdown by Thayer Thomas. And I must say, I was using this trip not only to meet my daughters and see a ACC football game for the first time from Carter-Finley Stadium on the campus of North Carolina State. And actually, it's just off a little bit off campus. But nonetheless, it was an entertaining game. It was a little slow going in the first half with just one field goal from NC State. But then, you know, Virginia Tech found a way to exploit the NC State aggressive defense, went over the top, scored not one, not two, but three touchdowns. And they were either scored on a long pass reception or set up on a long pass reception over the top of that defense. But like I said, North Carolina State came roaring back with a game-winning touchdown from Thayer Thomas. Now, I was doing some scouting as well, thinking about some potential future stars for the Bay Foxes. And I got to tell you, one guy I'm very excited about, you'll see this name, I believe, on a Bay Fox roster in the future. Maybe not next year. We'll see if I pick him up as a rookie. But oh my goodness, Thayer Thomas, unbelievable. Number 5 for the Wolfpack. If you get a chance to watch him at some point during the season, he reminds me of Wes Welker. He's a slot machine. Just unbelievable quickness in the middle of the field, in the short area. And he scored the game-winning touchdown. But I digress. Once again, I'll mention that that game was a couple nights ago. It's now Saturday afternoon, a little after noon. And I'm driving by myself from Raleigh to Blacksburg, where we're going to spend the rest of the weekend with my oldest daughter in Blacksburg, get to see some of her friends and see what she's got going on campus there in Blacksburg. And since she met us in Raleigh, she is driving back as well, and Cindy is in her vehicle. And I'm just on this open road, cruising down the highway, listening to a little Tom Petty, and of course coming at you with the Week 8 podcast. So while I'm on road here, I will talk a little bit about my matchup this week with the Knockers. And Knockers owner Don Tancredi, he is in, I believe he's in Florida, taking care of some property there. I've been texting him on and off this week and haven't heard too much back from him. So I'm guessing he's either busy or he is spending all his time coming up with what kind of moves he can make to compete with the Bay Foxes this week. The Knockers have struggled out the gate a little bit. They're just 1-6, but that's a dangerous team to be playing because I know he's still giving it everything he's got to try to get a weekly victory. And this is, I'm not going to call it Bymageddon for the Bay Foxes. It's not quite that bad. I believe we have, coming into the week, 4 buys. We've got the Chiefs defense, of course. I also have Travis Kelce. That's probably the biggest hit. Chiefs tight end. They're on bye for me. He's on bye for me. And then also Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on bye. And I don't have my roster here at my fingertips. I think that's it for buys. Just my Justin Herbert also on bye. And then I also have Debo Samuel not playing. He's been ruled out. Now, that hurts the Knockers as well, so that's not too big for me. But I was tossing around the idea of cutting loose Courtland Sutton to pick up some reinforcements either at quarterback or tight end, since I have Kelce on bye at tight end and Mark Andrews already playing Thursday night and getting knocked out of that game before halftime. So he gets me just 4 fantasy points. A little disappointed about that, and that leaves a gaping hole in my lineup. The strength of my team, I think, is tight end with Kelce and Andrews, but it's not happening this week. So I'd like to pick up another tight end. I've already picked up a reinforcing defense in the Vikings. So I'll have the Vikings and the Cowboys going at defense, and that'll help cover the void left by the Chiefs. But also with Herbert on the bench this week on bye, I'm thinking I could use another quarterback to pair with Trevor Lawrence, who goes up against the Broncos overseas. I think they're in England this week. That'll be a tough a go for Trevor Lawrence. So I'd really like to have I'd like to fill 2 more spots here, and I would have liked to have dropped Courtland Sutton to do that, but now I think I'm going to hang on to Sutton for a couple reasons. One, because Debo Samuel won't be playing, so I want to keep that extra wide receiver on my roster to help cover the absence of Samuel. And also, I've heard that the Broncos might trade Jerry Jeudy. I think the Giants are going after him, and he may be being shopped to other teams as well. Now, I've been so frustrated with the Broncos offense, and they are so bad, and I don't really see it getting better, and that's why I'm thinking of dropping Sutton. And he's on bye week 9, so it's either this week or next week probably. But if they trade away Jeudy, then he's gonna be a target monster, I would think. And I know they're not good, but somebody's got to catch the ball there, and I just see it being Courtland Sutton. So yeah, I think I'm gonna hang on to him for another week. Now I still have the rest of today to decide if I want to drop him for another quarterback or tight end. But I do think I will be dropping the Chiefs defense this week. Now that I have the Vikings, I think they're a comparable defense to the Chiefs to be my number 2 the rest of the way. And the Cowboys, they're clearly my number 1 defense. So I don't think I need the Chiefs. And the Chiefs defense, I mean, they've had a few good weeks, but they're not consistent. And they have some tough games during playoff time. So I think I'm gonna go ahead and just drop the Chiefs. So that'll give me the ability to pick up a tight end. We'll see who that is. And then it's probably going to leave the quarterback position open a second quarterback position open. I'll have to roll with Trevor Lawrence. But we'll see. Haven't completely made that decision yet. But I will say another interesting scenario popped up for me this week, and maybe some other teams are thinking about this. And it wasn't so much that the scenario popped up, it just kind of made itself more prevalent. And I'm talking about the fact that the Emus have gone and picked up Deshaun Watson. Now, I've had Watson in the back of my mind all season. He will be suspended through week 12. So he's not available to week 13. He's not going to help at all during the regular season. And, you know, assuming that the Bay Foxes make the Johnson Cup qualifying tournament, that starts in week 12. And listen, I'm not guaranteeing myself of that by any means. There's a long way to go. Four games left, and I'm going to have to win at least two, maybe three of those games to guarantee myself a spot in that tournament based on record. I can also get in with the Bowen statute, and it's looking good for that as well now. But if I don't keep that weekly points total high, then maybe that's going to be a difficult situation as well. So this is a tough decision, because now that Watson has, you know, one copy of Watson, so to speak, has already been taken up by the Emus, there's only two, you know, available times that Watson can be picked up. And when teams get a chance to assess, you know, who's on the, you know, even if the second team doesn't pick him up this weekend, when teams get a chance to assess what's going on, there's going to be two waiver periods next week where, you know, it's going to be an interesting situation to wonder if any teams are going to pick up Watson now that the Emus made the first move, so to speak. So this would be the time to pick him up. And I've been deliberating this for the past couple hours on whether or not I want to go and make the plunge. And to do that, then I would either have to forego picking up that tight end or quarterback this week. And like I said, I'd like to have both. And right now I'm only looking at one, you know, being able to drop the Chiefs defense. So I'd have to either not pick up that extra tight end or defense, or I'd have to drop another player, maybe Sutton, maybe Brian Robinson, a running back. I'm not completely sold on Robinson. But the difficulty in that is next week I got two running backs on bye. This week I have just one in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Next week I got two. I got McCaffrey, hopefully one of my heavy hitters, now that he's on San Francisco and hopefully he's had some chance to practice there. He'll play this week, but then immediately go on bye. And then I also have Najee Harris on bye in week 9. So I don't know if I want to be giving up a running back for a quarterback that's just going to sit on my taxi squad. So this is a tough decision. I've been thinking about it all morning. I've looked at the schedule. You know, when he gets back, he plays the Texans. Now, the Texans, only one win on the season so far, but defensively, they haven't been a pushover, and they haven't been very good on offense, so teams don't need to score a lot of points to defeat them. So I'm not sold on the Texans. I forget, I think one of the other teams they play kind of late in the season or during that time of the tournament, or maybe early in the playoffs proper, I think is against Cincinnati. And Cincinnati, you know, their run defense has not been good, but their pass defense has been pretty solid. And I forget the third the third matchup, either in the tournament or the week of the quarterfinals. I looked at three of those matchups. And I forget who the third was, but I think they were a relatively tough team against the pass as well. So, yeah, difficult decision, not great matchups. And I have Herbert, who's obviously a solid number one quarterback, but he has struggled a little bit this year. San Diego has not quite been the offensive juggernaut that I've hoped. They've run the ball a little bit better this year, and Herbert is not running himself. Herbert, I think last year, had four or five rushing touchdowns. I don't think he's had any this year. Or if he did, maybe it was early in the season before he hurt his ribs. But since that rib cartilage injury, he's just not been quite at the level that he was early in the season and last year. So a little concerned about Herbert, a little concerned about Lawrence, just, you know, the fact that Lawrence is still a second-year guy and the Jaguars' offense is maybe middle of the pack at best. So I definitely could use another top-tier quarterback. But that said, and I haven't made a final decision yet, but that said, I think I'm going to forego Watson. Again, just because I want to keep a strong team through the regular season to ensure that spot in the Johnson Cup playoffs. You know, I don't want to count any chickens before they're unhatched or whatever the saying is. So I think I'm going to stick with what I've got. We'll see. Maybe Deshaun Watson doesn't get picked up by two other teams, and maybe I get a shot at him again next week. Of course, I'm giving away the fact that I kind of like him as a player. I don't like him as a human being too much, given the fact that he has not been a model citizen, and we won't go into that any further. Not a prerequisite to be on my team by any means, but we'll see where this all goes. Wow, this has been a lot of rambling by yours truly, Jeff Rogers. I'm about to turn on to Highway 74, and I've got about another, hour and a half of driving or so, and I'll use that time to reconcentrate on my driving here. Not that I'm not able to concentrate and have a podcast at the same time. I certainly am. I'm capable. I could be sending out text messages now. No, just kidding. But anyway, I'm going to see here if I can fire up this Tom Petty again. Bear with me. And see if we can get him back on the airwaves. Yes, there he is, Tom Petty. Once again, this was the Week 8 podcast coming at you from Jeff Rogers, owner of the Cecil County Bay Foxes, commissioner of the league, and here to tell you that you've listened to this podcast in its entirety.